Blog Talk Radio.
Well, listen here. Welcome to Too Much Tea. Tom lives the Blog Talk Radio. We're here trying to identify some of the best things that are going on in Metro Atlanta, especially during the holiday season. We're trying to identify merchants with services and products that might be of an idea for a gift for a loved one that you're trying to find the special gift. Tonight, this gift might come in a form of a book. Tonight, we have a true historian, a true Georgian, a true person who's a pillar in our cities and throughout the Metro Atlanta area, more specifically in Stone Mountain Village. We have Dr. George Caletti, a successful author of, several pamphlets and also publications like the Granite Sentinel. He is now relinquishing a second book that might just make people say, wow. He's going to be talking on his book. He's going to be talking about availability that's starting this week. He's going to be talking about the ability for you all to go ahead and get the Kindle, enjoy it, throughout the holiday season, Thanksgiving, but go ahead and pre-order a hardbound book to give to your loved ones so they can have and put and cherish for years and years to come. First off, I want to say that Dr. Caletti is not just one of the most prominent people here in Georgia. He's a great friend of the Livesey family. He's also very respectful when he did the Granite Sentinel to notify and give, source of documentation as far as the Promised Land, which I call home. Dr. Caletti, thanks for being on the show. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your passion about history.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tom. The history about my family here in Stone Mountain is well known, I think. My uncle was Eli Schnur. He was the old man of the mountain. He rescued 36 people and 6 dogs off the steep side and got the Carnegie Medal for his exploits at the time. That was before the state bought the park. My grandparents moved here in about 1922 and bought a pre-Civil War hotel built by a fellow named Andrew Johnson, not the president, but we feel like he was probably kin to him. He was from South Carolina. And that was a hotel that my granddaddy bought back in the early 20s. And when he took a trip back to the old country to visit with his family there, purportedly the Ku Klux Klan burned his hotel down because he spoke broken English and he didn't quite fit in with the community like most of the Baptist Belt did at that time. He was Eastern Orthodox and he was from Beirut. But nonetheless, we survived. He built a store down there out of the ruins of the 4 chimneys that remained from the hotel and made a good citizen for the community. And I've been here all my life and grew up here in Stone Mountain and just enjoy the history part of the city. So I thought I would write a book about the inn there. So I got to researching on the book and the hotel that he had and come to find out that there's some prominent people owned that from the beginning. Andrew Johnson was the first one. He built it in about 1832, and he was the founding father of Stone Mountain. He had the village first name New Gibraltar, and then it changed its status in 1839. He changed it to Stone Mountain in 1842. And then he was a commissioner. He brought the railroad through here and was a very influential person with the legislature. So once I found that out, and then the other people who were deed holders of the mountain include two congressmen and a senator, and then Alexander Stevens, who was vice president of the Confederacy, actually owned land here in town. And he called it the Enterprise Company for Tourists. And he was partners with one of Andrew Johnson's sons. So that part, one piece of property that he owned, I think a lot of people know where the Village Corner Restaurant is here in town, right by the city cemetery. And that was a piece of property that Alexander Stevens owned. So the book just became more and more involved, and they became made a fictitious family named the Jernigans in the first book, and they went from the beginning or the early part of the book is the early history of the town. They got involved in the Civil War. Their kid went off to the Civil War and fought against his will because it was a conscription at that time. And then his daughter elopes with Congressman Hill's son, and they move to Savannah. But the whole book, the first book, the Stone Mountain and Granite Sentinel, had wound up having 6 years of hard work on it, 744 pages and 637 footnotes, and has a disc in the back with 400 pictures, maps, and illustrations, and 380 more pages of text. And that's a pure research document there for those who are interested in the history of the area. So I had a friend of mine in California. Most of you may know who Marla Gibbs is. She is was Flo on the Jeffersons, but she's a good friend of ours. And yeah, she read the book and loved it, and there's some comments from her on my website. But her daughter, Angela, has a production company. She read my book, and she says, we need to write a book about a white Southern stealth abolitionist, or a white Southern abolitionist. She said that would make a good movie. So I said, okay, let me get to work on that one. So it wasn't quite as hard to write as this other one because I took Buck, the main character in my first book, and gave the other side of him in this second book, which was never brought up in the first book. So in the second book, which is named The Red Spoke, it has 410 pages in it, no pictures, and no footnotes. But I've integrated into that where he and his freed slave, Isaac, turn into stealth abolitionists. And they go through the period right before, during, and after Civil War. Of course, after the Civil War, they were free because of the Emancipation Proclamation. But before and during the Civil War, they wind up helping about 30, 35 slaves escape into freedom, either to the Promised Land, which was known as Canada at the time, or the River Jordan, which was Ohio River. And some of them went out of the country, even on the boats out of Savannah. And it gets kind of, a couple of times it gets real, they have some close calls in there, and there's some actually killings going on in the book to help these slaves escape. So it gets pretty intriguing as you get into the book. It kind of gives a feel of really what the attitude was, and with those who believed in slavery and the attitude of those who were there to help free the slaves. So that's kind of why I wrote the second book. It was kind of at the request of Marla Gibbs' daughter, Angela, and it's about a white Southern stealth abolitionist and his freed slave who nobody knew that he was free. Everybody in the area thought that he was still under involuntary servitude. So that's kind of the long and short of the narrative there, of the books. And you can now get both books on Kindle. And,
well, let me ask you real quickly, is that, and before we're teasing you all, first off, Dr. Clady, thanks for, being on the show. For those here, you all don't know who you're talking to, this guy is. We first met when we went to Resaca,
Right.
And we were going up there and doing some history and, talking about the Civil War. If you are a Civil War buff, if you have anyone in your family who has a sense of history, if you're talking about the Georgia Civil War Commissions, they did an article on the Promised Land. They've done so many different things where, the city of Stone Mountain. And if you have a sense of pride of what, Dr. Coletti was just saying, the white abolitionists, they were risking their lives as well, right?
That's very true. But in the South, I researched before I even started on the second book to find out if there are any books or any basic history about Southern abolitionists per se, especially in the Georgia area, and I couldn't find any references at all. And I looked pretty good and pretty thorough in my search. And so I said, well, that is going to be a good topic to write on. It's something that's not common in Georgia. Of course, North Georgia didn't have very many slaves, like 2%. But you come further down south, like in DeKalb County, there were like 20% of the population were slaves. But if you get down into Chatham County, which is Savannah, 80% of that area was in slave, had slave population. And, of course, the reason that is because of the climate primarily. But DeKalb County, where we live here, is voted against secession. And we have a display uptown, with which my committee, I was chairman of the Sesquicentennial Committee, of Sherman's neckties, and we list that on the monument in front of the display there at the railroad track in town, where DeKalb County voted against secession. And what's a funny story about that, if I may tell it, is that
sure.
we had two delegates. We had George K. Smith as a delegate, who was buried in our cemetery here in town. Then we had Murphy Candler. Charles Murphy. And Murphy said he wished he would die before he had to go to Millersville and vote against secession. Well, sure enough, about a week before the convention, he died of pneumonia. So they appointed, he's buried in Decatur. So they appointed Dr. Peter Hall to take his place, and Dr. Hall goes down and votes against secession. He's buried in Jacksonville, Florida. And so we have one of the people who voted against secession to preserve the Union, and buried it here in our cemetery, which I think is a pretty unique deal to have in our town.
Well, I was there at your Sherman Necktie Memorial right there at the train station, and it's something that you all need to see. And as we're talking about, you know, your book and your city, and listen, if you all have not been to Stone Mountain Village, and if you are, you know, planning to come through our state of Georgia, going to Florida, Walt Disney World, or whatever, there's a few places where you need to stop, and obviously Stone Mountain, you know, Park is the number one attraction in the state, but right at the base is this little subtle neighborhood. Can you tell us a little bit about your little a hamlet, Dr. Colletti, before I get you to start to tell about your access to your books?
Okay. The Stone Mountain Village, like I say, was founded in 1839 by Andrew Johnson, and it was well known primarily, believe it or not, for its education. If you look in McGuire's diary, in which your plantation was part of, he states that if you want to get a good education, you go to Stone Mountain. They have the best schools in the whole area. And Stone Mountain has always maintained that reputation. Through the years, we had the Boys' University School for Boys, and that was back in 1900 to 1906. And they had people from China attending the University School for Boys here. And that was right on the vacant lot right across from the main part of the town. And today, as far as education goes, we have an off-campus of Georgia Military College in Millersville, where I graduated from junior college and high school. And they're getting ready to expand that now in the city. And so as far as education goes, Stone Mountain has always maintained a high degree of educational facilities for people who want to get it. The city first got its bank right after Civil War in 1882, and of course that was a big step. We have the Granite Quarry. It was here before the state bought the park, and granite was the industry that really helped rebuild the South after the Civil War. And people lived here, they worked here, and they played here. They didn't have to go anywhere to do their shopping. Our little village was like a mall. We had barbershops, grocery stores. We had, of course, a funeral home. We had beauty shops, dress shops, clothing, dry goods stores, post office, bank, whatever you needed, you can just go walk from my house two blocks and you had any access to any variety of goods or services that you needed. We had three doctors here in town, and two of them were McCurdy's, and one of them was Dr. Evans, Dr. Bill McCurdy, and Dr. Willis McCurdy. And their families are the McCurdy's, which go way back into the early history of the DeKalb County. And they, in fact, one of the McCurdy's, there's a monument for him down in Miami where he actually made the first attempted transoceanic flight. And he had to do a water landing. He didn't quite make it from Miami to Cuba. And there was another one, McCurdy, who formed the first aircraft manufacturing plant in Canada, which was done with Alexander Graham Bell. and those are descendants of people from Stone Mountain. And we have folks here like my wife. She's a direct descendant of Henry Clay from Kentucky, who was a very famous person who ran for president several times, but he failed because he was against slavery, and so that was one strike against him as far as one in getting elected to president. We have relatives of the Wright brothers here that live in
really?
Stone Mountain. Yeah, Dr. Conaway is a direct descendant. He looks just like one of them too, David Conaway. He looks, you could stand him next to his great uncle's portrait. You couldn't tell them apart. So we've got some good personalities here in town as far as history goes. Now the city is in the process of redeveloping. We had the Main Street project. The merchants are coming back now. We've had several programs to get more merchants. We have good restaurants here in town for folks to eat, and we have the art station here, which has really super plays in town. We have a fine city council and mayor. So the town is moving right along. To show that we are a town that get along very well, Snellville says that in Snellville, what's the slogan for Snellville?
Everybody's somebody.
All right, that's Snellville's logo. Ours is in Stone Mountain, we have each other. Of course, we have... and then we proved that. For example, we have about 60% Afro-American population, and we have posts to run in on city council. And right now, we only have one Afro-American on the council. And the people in Sherman County, which is our primary Afro-American stable community here, most of the others are in apartments that come and go. But we get together and see who's running, and we decide who we're going to support. And we don't care what color they are or where they come from. If they're going to do what's best for the city, that's who we're going to get in there and push. And that's usually the way it works. And we don't have any problems there. We had our first Afro-American chief of police was James Rivers. We have a street named after him now, James Rivers and Memorial Drive. And James, he was such a good person. James is not very good at reading and writing. But nonetheless, we had him appointed as chief, and he did a tremendous job as our chief of police. We're all proud of James, and he's retired now, and we'd do anything in the world for him, and he would do anything in the world for the city. Of course, we got the Klan reputation here in Stone Mountain. James Dimble was from Stone Mountain, and his daughters and I went to school together. Well, good friends. We didn't go to school together. We're good friends. And when he passed away, and I don't endorse the Klan in any shape, fashion, or form, but they asked me if I would give a part of the eulogy at his funeral. I said, well, sure, I'll pray for anybody's soul. I mean, I need somebody to pray for mine a lot, too. So I did that as a courtesy to the family. But the Stone Mountain, the Klan was founded, reborn on Stone Mountain on Thanksgiving Day in 1915 and on top of the mountain. It was not in the city of Stone Mountain. And the city would not allow them to parade through town without a permit. It's, you know, if you deny one person the right to assemble, then who's going to be next? So you have to do what's right by the Constitution and let anybody who wants to parade, and so long as they follow the rules. Of course, we didn't have any problems with them here in town. They didn't bother anybody in town. As far as the citizens go, although it did in the early days, they did destroy my granddaddy's place. After that, I've heard any atrocities going on in town. In fact, when they'd had the parade down in Venables Pasture, they would parade through Shermantown in the cars, and everybody standing at the fences and watching them, no matter what color you were. And they wouldn't bother anybody, but still didn't like them being in town. But there's nothing we could do about it. But that's the history of the Ku Klux Klan in town. We don't cherish the fact that it was around here and wish we could do away with it, but it's a part of history and we have to tell about it when it comes up. None of that's in my book because the book ended on July the 4th, 1865. So there's no mention. But there's a lot of books out there about it and a lot of different views on that out there.
Here's the thing. Those who are going to be listening to your talk show, we now are, you know, appeased to be educated and, most important, is that history. If you don't know your history, you know, you don't know where your future is going to take you. And if you don't know your history, you know, you don't have no destination, any road will get you there. Obviously, throughout your writings, you talk about the humility and humanity of individuals, be it during the times of a time that we can't even fathom today, but it was a time that we could try at least to do something to better each other. Whether it was right or wrong, time will tell. And with that
very
being
true,
said,
we have to progress, we learn from our past, but use the eyes in front of our heads rather than the ones in the back of our heads. a lot of people dwell on slavery 150 years ago, and it's history. We need to dwell on it. But today in America, we've got 500,000 people that are being held for sex slaves, and you see them walking down the street, and people look at them and say, look, there goes a little old prostitute, and they laugh. Well, you think about it, 150 years ago, that's probably the attitude people had towards slaves then. You'd be going by in your horse and buggy, and there goes so-and-so, and he belongs to so-and-so, and keep on riding. So the attitude today toward the slave issue today of the 500,000 people we have as sex slaves in our country is not much different, if you think about it, than it was 150 years ago. They get beat. These sex slaves get beat up. Those regular slaves got beaten back in 150 years ago. The CDC says that some of these kids are brought in as early as 12 and 13 years old, and before they reach the age of 20, they are dead. They're found dead in a dumpster in a dark alley somewhere. They've used them up and thrown them away. And that's a tragedy that's occurring in our community today. And there's not a person that's an adult that has not seen a young girl or a mid-20s age girl walking down the street that is a prostitute and does nothing about it except point and laugh.
Wow. Well, with that being said, can you give your contact information? And then I know for you all listening, go ahead, get your pen and pad out. Go ahead and download. He's going to be telling you the access and the procedure to get your Kindle tonight. And also pre-order your hardbound for those that you love. And get your two or three or four copies at the time and give it to them, because it's going to be a great, a conversational piece, and it's going to be a great novel. If you like history, if you think Gone with the Wind, tell Gone with the Wind to watch out. Here comes Dr. Colletti. Dr. Colletti, please give your contact information for people to go ahead and download your Kindle right now and pre-order your hardbound book.
Okay, you can go on Amazon Kindle. That's the only place it's listed right now. And the Kindle version is $4.99, and it's available. The hard copy I thought was not going to be available until the end of the month, but it is now also available on Amazon Books, and it is $14.99. And they've got them printed up and ready to distribute. In fact, the first day sales have been a lot better than I had hoped they would be. I hoped they'd been 10,000. They weren't winning near that much, but they were substantial, and I was real pleased with that. But go ahead and order them. And I have a website for the first book. It's StoneMountainTheGraniteSentinel.com. If you care about looking at some of the reviews of that book, website for the Red Spoke will be tied in with that one day next week, probably. So we're working on that website as we speak. But be sure and order your book. And I think if you read either book first, and then you read the second one, you're going to see how they tie in when one, and you show the other side of a person's disposition and personality in the book. Now, you read one of the hot spots in the book, Tom. I sent it to you. And if you would like to, maybe don't tell them what it's about, except it's a bear.
I can't tell them what it's about, but it's a lot of symbolism. Most important thing is the way that you, you write. There is, and I can't really tell all of you all a little bit more about it, but I received your chapter one, and just to tell you the truth, I flooded headset on my phone, I mean, on my laptop, and hit play on my natural reader, and it started to read to me. Closed my eyes, lights were off. And then the way that you wrote, I smelled everything. You were, and it's called, we talk about the SSSTT, and that's, you know, going from the top of your head, you know, it's sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And in the first chapter, you discussed visuals, that you could have been a blind person, and you would have smelled the flowers. You was, you know, here's a buck, you know, here's the other couple of carriages coming in. But moreover, you were creating a atmosphere and a environment and a town setting. And you went real at length to talk about that. And you hit every senses of the individual. And those are the senses that when you're writing a book, you are wanting to be there. And if you read the first chapter, and obviously that's all Dr. Kalita gave me, and I'm not going to tell you all because he told me not to, okay? But you will be in the setting. You will be back in 19th century. You'll be back there. You don't have to really do it because Dr. Kalita writes in a way that puts you on Main Street, no matter what year it is. Isn't that right, Dr. Kalita?
Well, if I agree or disagree with you, I'd be pushing my own button, so I'll let the audience decide from themselves for your comments. But a lot of the book is written in present tense. Most books are written in past tense, and I thought I would make the reader more part of the environment by writing in the present tense. And that seems to have played a big part in the success of the first book, and I hope it plays a big part in the success of the second book as well.
Well, tell me about what is coming up this week or next week or between now and Thanksgiving. Obviously, everyone who's listening need to go ahead and purchase your book. Tonight, and also pre-order your hard copy. Doctor, what is your upcoming books, signings or events you're going to be on that maybe that they can come and buy a hard copy and get a signature?
Yeah.
Now, hey, that's going to be more money, buddies.
Right. I have 200 hard copies coming in. I think they will be here on the 28th. Is 28th or 29th of November. And Stormont Historic Society was going to have a book signing. There'll be some books already signed at the Village Corner Restaurant and the Stormont Antique Mall, and maybe some in Stormont Park. If I have enough left to give them to them, I'll have to place another order to get more books in, depending on how the book signings go. So, but they will for sure have them at the Basket Bakery, at the Stormont Corner Restaurant down there at, they call it the Village Corner Restaurant now. It used to be called the Basket Bakery. And it's at Stormont Antique Mall, which is at 2nd Street and East Mountain Street in the city of Stormont. And so I'll kind of keep you informed. If you wouldn't mind, you can announce it on your radio when the book signings are going to be, because it won't be a whole lot of time between now and Christmas to get them out. But if anybody wants me to sign a book for them, just email me if they get a book. Email me at G as in George, D as in Delta, N as at November, and C as in Cat, GDNC at bellsouth.net. And I'll be glad to meet up with you somewhere and inscribe your book for you.
Surely, while we have you on National Talk Show, my signed copy is somewhere in the mail.
Well, it will be in the mail, but it's not there yet. I don't have them in the mail yet.
Anyway,
you can order them from Amazon if you're in a hurry.
Dr. Kalita,
I'll get it to you. You'll get your copy when I get mine in.
Okay. And now you're talking about you have like a little parade, like a Christmas sign. Christmas tree lighting. Is there anything that's going on that we need to tell people?
Yeah, light up the cab would be not this Friday, but the Friday after Thanksgiving in town, and it starts about dark. And if anybody wants to be in the parade, just call City Hall and talk to the DDA director there, 770-498-8984. 770-498-8984, that's what it is. And talk to the DDA director and tell them you want to be in the parade, and they'll give you a little application filled out, and you can do it.
Now, I have an individual who's probably listening in right now. She's come out with a superhero character. You know, we're talking about the demographics and talking about, you know, history and talking about our future. Stone Mountain, talking about Snellville, talking about Latonia, talking about, you know, talking about Metro Atlanta, talking about Georgia, talking about the United States. The thing is, she has come out with a superhero, a minority woman that's looking out for, you know, no more domestic violence, no more child abuse, no more texting and driving, no more, eating healthier and just looking out for the community as a whole. And she, I think, probably has a question as far as how can she get into the parade at Stone Mountain. Let me see if I can get her on. Look out, lady.
Hello. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Got Dr. Galletti here, and you're talking about the parade in Stone Mountain. It's going to be, you know.
Yes.
And I told him a little bit about you, and mm-hmm. He's excited about your book, also to be part of, you know, the growth of your city.
Right.
For the history of the past
meeting.
And the future.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a question, comment,
or
remark for Dr. Galletti?
Well, how you doing, Dr. Galletti?
I'm fine. Thank you, ma'am. And you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Man, the book sounds very intriguing. I would love to read it. I'm like Tom. I'm kind of waiting for my copy, too. I'm just excited about listening to it and getting the history behind everything. Tom has told me a lot about, you know, the Promised Land. And what you've told me, wow, I'm just kind of like, I was intrigued. So you got me curious now.
In my first book, Thomas McGuire, which owned the Promised Land Plantation, where Tom now owns, is pretty prominent in the book. The second book, it's not quite as prominent, but it is mentioned in there less than it mm-hmm. is in the first. And the Promised Land of their plantation is not the same Promised Land that the slaves would use. The Promised Land of them was Canada. When they were escaping, they wanted to go to the Promised Land, that was Canada.
Right, right. Well, I've been to the Thomas McGuire house. Tom took me there, and that was interesting. But I'm looking forward to reading your book.
Thank you, ma'am.
As far as Dr. Colletti already gave you the contact people if you're interested in being part of the parade.
Yes, I did. I wrote it down. Yes,
770-498-8984, and that's City Hall. And tell them you want to be some information on the Light Up the Cab parade in Stone Mountain.
Okay, thank you. I'll probably see you there. Are you going to be there, right?
I'll be there. I'm in charge of the little bonfire where the kids roast the marshmallows. So just come over in.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have you sign my book.
I'll be with Dr. Galletti. I'll be putting on the marshmallows on the sticks. Okay.
Right.
We all fall in when we fit in, but you know I'll be. I don't know if I can get her on, but let's see. 770-972-5848. Are you on? Hello.
I'm here, Tom.
Okay. Well, it was. They were just listening in, but. Again, you know, the challenge is as far as your celebrations are going on, I just received a whole new docket of activities from Nan Nash. Can we just say, you know, hello and salute Nan Nash? She's and your wife. Can you shout out to your wife? Tell tell us a little bit about your wife.
Well, she is on city council now. This is her third term, I believe, and she enjoys it, and she's very dedicated to her effort of maintaining the city's integrity, and she is an artist as well. And so she, we have 8 kids between us, so we stay pretty busy between her city council work, my practice, and my book writing, her artwork, and so we have a lot of fun together.
Dr. Coletti, can you just give a little bit of insight about what you have down in your basement? And I'm not talking about a dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about, listen, Trisha, if you don't know, this man is a perfectionist.
Uh-huh.
He has all these trains. Dr. Coletti,
we have a huge collection of Lionel trains. They got a layout of about 8 feet by 24 feet, and we can run about 6 trains at a time. Have about 115 or 20 different sets of trains.
Okay, when are we going to see them?
Well, see now, I'm not going to talk with Dr. Coletti on that.
See?
He got quiet on me on that one. He's
like, I like to see them, okay? You didn't say anything about that, Dr.
Well, guess what? If you get 50 people to purchase his Kindle and Heartbound book, maybe we might be able to, you know, swaze him to show him the train set. Is that right, Doctor?
We will spring a presentment for her to come and look.
Okay. Listen, everyone, thank you so much for being on the show. Let's support Dr. Coletti. He is a bestseller in this book, in, you know, a matter of, you know, by Christmas will be along the same top sellers. This is something that is local historians. These are, you know, this is a book that is a great Christmas gift. It's very inexpensive, and it's something that they can cherish, and, you know, they can read and reread, and you know, it's something about what and who we are. Thank you, Dr. Coletti, for being on the show.
Thanks for asking. You have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, Trisha.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye, Dr. Coletti.